Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for January 5th, 2015. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, the U.S. economy is forecast to strengthen this year. We'll have that in other stories. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason looks at how using the default numbers for ethanol and biodiesel might impact market prices. And the folks from Earth Risk Technology in Chicago will look at agricultural weather. It's all on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from Country Financial, hosting information sessions for farmers throughout the state of Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates on both the federal crop insurance program and the Farm Bill, as well as how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. More information is at countrycrop.com.
Here are how futures settled this Monday afternoon. Hard red winter March wheat 6.24 3/4, up 7 3/4. May 6.29 1/2, up 7 1/2. Soft March wheat 5.89, up 7 3/4. May 5.93 3/4, up 7. March corn 4.06, up 10 1/4. May 4.14 3/4, up 10 1/4. July 4.21 1/4, up 10. December 4.29, up 9 1/2. January soybeans 10.39 3/4, up 37 1/4. March 10.45 1/4, up 37 3/4. July 10.57 1/2, up 37. January soybean meal 3.69, up $12.50. January soybean oil 32.70, up 75. Now some last trades. February live cattle 166.25, up 57 1/2. January feeders 225.65, up 170. And February lean hog 79.90, down 140. And those are the settlements from the Chicago Board of Trade.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says cold weather will be the main theme in the U.S. this week. The coldest temperatures will occur Wednesday in the Midwest and Thursday in the southeastern states, with the northern plains coldest Tuesday and Wednesday. Extreme lows in the negative single digits will occur southward into the lower Midwest and positive single digits and teens in the interior southeastern states. A second wave of bitter cold is expected Friday and Saturday in the north central states and Saturday in the Midwest, with temperatures not quite as cold as those of midweek. Snow will precede the two U.S. cold waves, with one occurring today and Tuesday from South Dakota and parts of Nebraska to Michigan and Ohio. Accumulations of a dusting to 3 inches will be common. Only a minor amount of wheat in eastern Kansas and Missouri may not be adequately protected against winter kill conditions. Additional light snow will fall in the northern U.S. Midwest Wednesday night into Thursday, with a dusting of 2 inches most likely. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Afternoon, Dave.
Well, we were in double digits for gains in soybeans when we talked this morning, and we were thinking, well, if we can just get it a little bit more, maybe tomorrow, in tomorrow's session, that would be most impressive. Well, we did it today, and we have the January up 37 and one quarter, pretty much erasing all the push down from the last 2 weeks from the bears.
Yeah, it is stronger than what most thought, including myself. I thought these March beans would kind of stall out around this 10:30 area. That's kind of where we broke out to the downside. But commodity funds trade a lot more contracts than I do. They were buyers about 9,000, so I couldn't offset that by any means at all. And they evidently got some buy programs, actually buying back about half of what they sold from last week there. So Asia buying some beans, the colder weather. You know, ideas next week's report could show a little tighter situation. So just a combination of things generated some buying interest here. We'll see if we can follow through here and take out last week's highs or not. There's some in the trade believing we'll take out last week's highs by just a penny or two. Then we could see a fairly aggressive sell-off after next week's report.
So we're looking at about 1061 in the January.
It's possible. Man, you look at a chart in beans, we've been virtually sideways since last November. I mean, we've been straight up, straight down, straight up, straight down. And when you look at the big picture here, we've got some big coiling taking place. And, you know, we'll see if the numbers next week shed a little light on things or not.
Now, when you have a coil-type formation, what is the most likely breakout?
Well, that's a good question. You got to be kind of careful and have confirmation or breakout. You get some head fakes every once in a while. This market's been notorious for taking out a high and trip and buy programs and turn right around 2 days later, move lower and take out some lows within a week and vice versa. So usually you draw some trend lines and you get two closes outside of that parameter, you go with it.
So that is the soybeans, and soybeans now in the middle of its trading range that it's been in for the better part of a month and a half or so. In the corn, if you're looking at the March, we're 406. We got some work to do because we're just still at the bottom of the trading range that we were going sideways since the beginning of December.
Correct there. Went sideways. We had a big surge up there in the middle of December. Then for the last 2 weeks there, we went sideways. Now we're kind of back to where we broke out to the downside. See if we can't kind of poke back up there or not.
So what were the fundamentals in corn, if any, that pushed this move today?
You know, a little colder weather. Commodity funds were buyers of 10,000 contracts. You know, ideas are that next week's report could show a little smaller harvested acres, a little smaller yield. We also seen a situation where China's in the market for some DDGs. You know, they've been buying that under the radar for the last 5-6 years. So, you know, that'll be watched closely here. You know, see if we see some active shipments out to them on that.
What is the role of oil in all this? It went under $50 a barrel today.
Well, you got me there. I had you know, quite a few questions on that. Kind of hard to see the big up move. Crude down almost $3. The Dow down over 300. It's positioning, reallocation of commodity funds. The Dow and the energy, you know, hit hard. Grains saw some ample buying there. Metals buying in there, and the financial markets seeing some movement to some safe haven there. So agricultural products and the grain side, at least, has been a beneficiary of some of these larger funds moving some money around.
How much gold was bought today?
I'm sorry?
How much gold was bought today? Did gold go up considerably today?
Gold's up anywhere from $16 to $18 an ounce. When you look at where we've been in through here, we got the February back above $1,200 a contract. So if we keep Feb gold above $1,200, contract, we got room to move back up to that 1225 level.
Is it possible that the gold is in an implied long in the commodity markets for grains?
Well, that's a good question. I think it's a place to go for a while, but when you look at the chart on gold too, it's about like the grains. We've virtually been sideways. I mean, we've been up, we've been down. In order for gold to push on above this 1225 area, we're going to have some world event push more funds into safe havens.
And of course, wheat rallied also today.
Well, not as much as what one would think. It was caught between two things. One's the cold weather, but looks like we'll get a little snow cover to help it out. It's going to have to get below 10 below to really do damage this time of year. Secondly or thirdly here, we've got a situation where the dollar continues to march higher, and it's awful hard to compete with some of these other countries around the world when their currencies are eroding away, but ours remain strong.
And just when you thought that feeder cattle were potentially on the ropes for a push downward, not so much again. You look at the march up 197.5 today.
Well, you got to remember the reproductive cycle of cattle. It's going to be a two-year process. You got to kind of watch these heifer retentions, and it's going to be long term before we can really say the old beef sectors have really put it at the top in there. So, it's going to be a dynamic market. You're going to see some very volatile swings, and that's why we've seen them widen out the limit moves so people can get in and out of the market complex fairly.
Thank you very much, Kurt.
All right, take care.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
In agricultural news, a new survey from Bloomberg says that the U.S. economy is forecast to strengthen this year as solid growth in consumer spending and business investment offsets higher interest rates and global weakness. The nation's real gross domestic product will expand 2.9% in 2015 after a projected 2.3% gain in 2014. That, according to the median forecast of 84 economists. Job gains will slow in 2015 to an average of 215,000 per month from 236,000 per month in 2014. California-based Pacific Ethanol is buying Midwest ethanol producer Aventine Renewable Energy Holdings for about $190 million in stock. Aventine has a 100-million-gallon wet mill and a 60-million-gallon dry mill in Pekin, and 110-million-gallon and 45-million-gallon dry mill plants in Aurora, Nebraska. The new Republican-controlled Senate Energy Committee will get a jump on legislation this year by holding a hearing this week on a bill to approve the Keystone XL pipeline. By doing so, Republicans will be able to bypass a current Keystone review by the Obama administration. The committee hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, just a day after Congress reconvenes. New Senate Agriculture Chairman Pat Roberts is expected to consider renewal of child nutrition programs that have been pushed by the White House and expire next year. Roberts has criticized efforts to make school lunches healthier, calling for studies on the costs of the program and economic impact on schools. Roberts also has championed cutting back spending for food stamps, saying the Farm Bill's estimated cut of $8 billion over 10 years is insufficient. A panel that advises USDA is ready to recommend that you be told not only what foods are better for your health, but for the environment as well. That means that when the latest revision of the government's dietary guidelines comes out, it may push harder than it has in recent years for people to choose more fruits, vegetables, nuts, and whole grains at the expense of meat. But the beef and agriculture industries are crying foul, saying an environmental agenda has no place in what has always been a practical blueprint for a healthy lifestyle. The advisory panel has been discussing the idea of sustainability in public meetings, indicating that its recommendations, expected early this year, may address the environment. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has stalled the release of the annual usage mandates for biofuels in the U.S. These are due out each November. EPA says it will put forth new numbers next spring. In the meantime, it might be important to consider just how using the default numbers would play out for the production of ethanol and biodiesel. Todd Gleason explores the issue.
The United States Congress set renewable fuels mandates a few years ago. It also gave U.S. EPA the power to adjust those mandates. EPA has not done so for the 2014 calendar year or for 2015. We'll dispose of the political baggage and simply focus on the results of using the default statutes written into the law. It says the nation must use 14.4 billion gallons of ethanol in 2014, but at the rate of no more than 10% of the gasoline consumed. This 10%, however, is actually 1.1 billion gallons less than the 14.4 billion gallon mandate. This is what University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin calls the renewable gap, and the only way to fill it, really, is with biodiesel, usually processed from soybean oil.
That number gets much bigger in 2015 because the ethanol mandate jumps to 15 billion gallons. And so if you think the E10 blend well is still 13.5 billion gallons, then there's an additional 1.5 billion gallons in 2015 that has to be filled by something. And we argue that that something is most likely to be biodiesel.
Well, this sounds like biodiesel usage would need to top some 2.6 billion gallons in 2015, but that's not quite the case, says Irwin.
Well, the arithmetic is actually quite interesting because of the growth in an obscure component of the advanced RFS mandate called the undifferentiated advanced. That was 2 billion gallons, that component in the statute for 2014. And the arithmetic works this way. 1.28 billion gallons of biodiesel gets a multiplier effect into ethanol equivalent gallons of 1.5, which is almost exactly 2 billion gallons. So biodiesel met that undifferentiated number in 2014. But it's now, in the next 4 years, going to jump 500. That component in the statutes starts jumping 500 million gallons a year each of the next 4 years,
topping out at 5 billion gallons in 2022.
The bottom line is it doesn't take us very long to get a scenario where through either domestic production or imports of biomass-based diesel in its various forms, where we need 2 to 2.5 billion gallons easily for 2015.
This is only if the statutes are ultimately fully enforced. Admittedly, this is a big wild card, but it is the law, and until U.S. EPA acts, it is the mandate, says the U of I ag economist.
If they're going that direction, we're going to have a big biodiesel boom.
Scott Irwin follows the renewable fuels standard at the University of Illinois. You may read more from him on the Farm Doc Daily website. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with Cash Grain Analysis is Brian Stark of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon, Dave.
It is very cold outside, so producers are not out doing a whole lot this week, which gave them all the more time to think about picking up their phone and calling the Andersons. Did they do that in numbers today?
No, actually, the phones have been fairly quiet. I think maybe everyone's staying in and hibernating here with the forecast of temperatures middle of the week. We do have a few guys that are hauling in on their Jan contracts, but it's going to be a slow week with as cold as they're forecasting.
37-degree rally on the futures for January soybeans today. I have this theory that the colder it gets, a 37-cent rally looks more like a 5-cent rally.
Well, it feels that way. It's kind of interesting where we settled on our lows the first business day on Friday of the new year in beans, and then coincidentally today close up above both the 100-day and 50-day moving average in March soybeans. So quite a powerful technical trade today. Nothing really that would drive, to our knowledge, other than maybe a little bit of concern of southern Brazil being a little too wet, Northeast Brazil being a little too dry, and maybe some index fund rebalancing moving forward. But whatever the reason, most of our other commodities, crude, all lower, setting new lows. I think traded below 50 at one point today. Not quite sure where it settled. But grains kind of contradicted the other commodities in rallying today.
You got a report, well, actually four of them a week from today. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think it's a huge report. Obviously, the stocks numbers are always interesting. We had a big pipeline to fill, sticking with soybeans. It'll be interesting to see how many beans moved in the first quarter of the new year, crop year, that is. And obviously, corn, we could have seen a lot of movement that might skew the stock numbers as harvest was delayed in the eastern corn belt. So those are important. And you've also got the unknown of will they adjust the yields higher, and what about the FSA acreage, and how is that going to balance out? So I think it could be bearish. It could be bullish. I think this is a report the producer needs to be very careful and cautious approaching, because it tends to send surprises one way or the other.
Why don't we go ahead then and get your prices for today?
Cash corn tonight is 387. New crop 15 corn 404. Cash soybeans 1029. And new crop 15 beans out of the field $10 even.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Brian Stark of the Andersons, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Have you subscribed to our free Ag e-newsletter? You can do that at willag.org. Click on the subscribe link in the right navigation window. In 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather with the folks from Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago. National Whipped Cream Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1786, Thomas Nuttall was born. An English naturalist and botanist, he collected and studied plants in the U.S., especially around the Chesapeake Bay area. In 1794, Edmund Ruffin was born. He is often called the father of soil chemistry in the U.S. Ruffin showed how to restore fertility to depleted soil, and he discovered effective methods of fertilizing, plowing, and rotating crops to increase grain production.
In 1889, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, the word hamburger first appeared in print in a Walla Walla, Washington newspaper. In 1914, Aaron Bunny Lapin was born, an American inventor. He is the creator of whipped cream in an aerosol can. He did that in 1947. It was first sold by milkmen in St. Louis in 1948. And in 1943, George Washington Carver died, an American agricultural scientist and inventor. He developed hundreds of uses for peanuts, soybeans, and sweet potatoes. Carver demonstrated to farmers how fertility could be restored to their land by diversification, especially by planting peanuts and sweet potatoes to replenish soil impoverished by the regular growth of cotton and tobacco. And he founded the George Washington Carver Research Foundation at Tuskegee, Alabama, for agricultural research. And that's this day in agricultural history. Now, with a look at agricultural weather, is Mark Russo of Earth Risk Technologies, Incorporated in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Dave.
The weather is, the cold weather, I think, is the story of the day. Tell us about temperatures this week.
Yeah, well, not only is it the story of the day, but the story of the week, as this Arctic air mass that has come down into the Midwest will be followed up by additional moderate to strong Arctic air masses. And certainly this is the coldest week of the winter season thus far, and we expect that to continue into the start of next week. Overall, here across Illinois, like today, we have temperatures in the lower 20s down south, down to temperatures only are hovering just around zero across far northern Illinois. And temperatures overnight here will be moderating a bit, and along with that will be some snow cover, but then which will track across much of a northern and central Illinois, and then that'll be followed up by another surge of Arctic cold and very similar temperatures to what we had today, repeating itself coming up on Wednesday, Thursday, and on into Friday before then a moderation occurs, although temperatures will still continue to be colder than average until the early part of next week.
So it's rinse and repeat. What about down in South America?
Well, down across South America, continue to have favorable weather across the vast majority of summer crop acreage. They're actually in Argentina having some cooler than normal weather right now. Nothing too extreme, though. And bottom line, there's no sign of any extreme heat coming into South America, which at this time of year, as we go through corn pollination in areas of South America, that is an item to watch. But overall, no sign of any heat issues coming up over the next few weeks. And in addition to that, there will be opportunities for rainfall. Again, that includes Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, Brazil. You name the location, the favorable weather will continue across those areas, really, from now through much of this month.
Are there any dry pockets at all of note that we should talk about quickly?
Well, at least the pattern here across central and southeastern Brazil will be below normal. At least rainfall will be below normal over the next couple of weeks. But their normal totals at this time of year are very high. For example, over the next 2 weeks in many stations in Mato Grosso, Brazil, their two-week totals are around 6-7 inches of rainfall. So they'll be picking up about half or a little over half of normal, but that still equates to about 3-4 inches, which is favorable for crop development.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome, Dave.
Mark Russo of Earth Risk Technologies, and that is today's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.